Hello, people of the world. It is Sunday, Sunday the 12th of May, 2024, and it is precisely 9 o'clock in the morning. Holy shit, it is looking gorgeous outside as well. The UK has been hit by some sort of weird heat wave, finally, after potentially the longest winter ever. It got a bit Game of Thrones out there, didn't it? But now it is fucking scorching. The last week or so has been absolutely gorgeous, which has its pros and cons in this country. You get the mottled skin. After a long winter, you just see pasty white people walking around in far too lesser clothes, I think. Everybody starts going a bit crazy, gets the old white skin out, starts reflecting the sun off them, causing crashes. You know, planes are dropping out the sky because it's like a fucking laser beam of light reflecting off people's skin. But it's been absolutely fucking gorgeous. It's 9 o'clock in the morning here already, and it is what? Let's have a look. Let's see on the phone what sort of temperature is at the minute. 16 degrees. Hey, it's due to get up to 23 though later on, so I'm trying to get everything done early so I can just bask in shorts later on. I know. I'm going to be inside my apartment though, so it's not going to be, you know, I'm not forcing that onto other people, my pasty white skin. Anyway, hello, how are you? Are you doing well? Rhetorical question, doesn't need an answer. Now, my week, I hope your week has been good. My week has been busy, but very nice, actually, to be perfectly honest. I've had gigs, had a gig the other night, God knows where it was. When was it? Friday night, Thursday night? Something like that. So I had Friday and Saturday off. Friday night was very nice. So where the fuck was I on Thursday? I've got no idea. Let's have a look. We've hit a barrier already, people. Where the fuck was I? Wednesday, Thursday. Dronfield, holy shit, yeah. So I was in, it was like an old working men's club. It was like Hilltop Sports and Social Club, it's almost like they choose those old working men's clubs. It's almost like they have an old 1970s working men's club calendar, catalogue, I should say, not calendar. That would be horrendous, wouldn't it? A 1970s working men's club's calendar. Ah. Oh. Just fat guys with moustaches and beer bellies, like that. Their perm-headed wives next to them. Smoking. Everyone smoking back in the 70s, wasn't it? They must have some sort of, like, catalogue where they order, A, the carpets from. It's always that burgundy sort of, like, carpet with the fucking designs on it. The chairs, the tables with the sort of like lanolin top. Is it lanolin? It's almost like Bakelite sort of like top on them. Ah, every fucking working men's club. And they've still got that. No need to update it. They've still got that. Those horrible fucking chairs with the sponge bits on and the fusty smell. I think they come with pre-fusty smell on them. They sort of like spray them every day with Febreze, with a fusty smell of Febreze. But to be fair, the gig had everything on it to be a fucking nightmare. Everything. It was in a working men's club type place, even though they've rebranded it as Sports and Social Club. I don't think, from the look of the crowd, there weren't much sporting activity there. The crowd was quite old. There was a 40th birthday party in there as well for some woman. And I thought it was going to be a fucking nightmare. Everybody sitting around the outside of the room. To be fair, the guy running the night, Greg had got everybody seated at the front. I think it was Greg, yeah. Oh, fuck's sake. Ah, dear. Yeah, it was. Why am I even disputing that? Yeah, the guy running like Greg. Greg Phillips, there we go. He says, looking at his phone, just to double check. Did a good job of bringing everyone forward. The 40th birthday party sat right at the front, and you're like, ah, oh, fucking hell. She's got balloons. You know, she's 40, recently divorced. You know, just about to go on holiday to Morocco. There we go. There's three ticks for getting married to a Moroccan waiter right there. Recently divorced, hates her fucking ex-husband, 40 years old, midlife crisis. Here we go. People say a midlife crisis is a bad thing. They say that as if it's a bad thing, don't they? You get your rocks off, sweetheart. That's it. But she's got, like, Moroccan waiter, comes over, smooth, young, toned, tanned. Ah! He's going to be in her house in no time. There we go. There's a stereotype for you. Cash that in. Boom. Yeah. Yeah, everybody says a midlife crisis like it's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. You know what I mean? You know, I'm bound to say this, aren't I? I'm bound to say this because I'm potentially due one at any moment. This podcast could actually be my midlife crisis. That's it. dear. Oh, it's been gorgeous, though. Gorgeous weather. It just lifts your mood, doesn't it? Like now, this morning, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm up with a lark. So I was up at 7:30. You wake up, it's like being on holiday. You push the blinds up, the sun's already out. It gives you a bit of a spring in your step, doesn't it? Why can't England be like this all the time? Maybe it will be. Maybe with global warming, it will be. But I don't know. I've had a week of documentaries this week as well. I've watched the Kevin Spacey documentary, Unmasked, which I think they missed a trick with that. Being as it's about him getting his dick out all the time, it should have been Spacey Unsheathed. I think that should have been the, that should have been it. Everybody in that fucking documentary had the same story. Just exactly this. Hey, I was new to Hollywood, trying to break it into Hollywood. I met Kevin Spacey. He gave me his number. I went round to see him. We were talking, and then he got his dick out. Every fucking story, isn't it? There was one guy on that. I mean, it's fascinating watching it. It's like gossip, isn't it? That's what it is. It's a documentary masquerading as a red top newspaper. That's basically it, isn't it? One of the guys goes, now, let me, if you'd met somebody once, like this guy had met Kevin Spacey once, and Kevin Spacey invited him for a party in his hotel room, right? So, yeah, if you meet somebody once, you get on with them, something like that. Hey, fucking hell, you know, they're a cool guy. It's fucking Kevin Spacey. And he invites you to a party at his hotel room. You're like, holy fucking shit. You know, you'd probably take somebody along, to be fair, wouldn't you? You wouldn't go on your own. I wouldn't go to a party on my own anyway. To be honest, I wouldn't go to the party. I fucking hate them. Anything like that where you're locked in for ages and you just feel weird and uncomfortable and then you just get chatting to, you know. There's always the lame ass at parties, isn't there? You know, you can go to a party on your own and end up chatting to somebody and they're always the lame ass of the party and you're looking around thinking, I want to be chatting to those cool people over there, but I'm stuck with this guy. I'm stuck with this fucking guy. So this guy goes to the apartment and not the apartment, it's hotel room, isn't it? Let's get it right, Ben. He goes to the apartment. Kevin Spacey answers the door in a bathrobe, which would immediately, for me, immediately start ringing bells. Why the fuck this guy's hosting a party and he's in a fucking bathrobe? What sort of party? Hey, what sort of party is this? Unless there's a fucking swimming pool in the hotel room, I'd be very, very, very suspicious at that point. Let's have some tea. But the guy just thinks, oh, fuck it, this is perfectly reasonable. There's nobody else. He gets in the apartment, there's nobody else there. Alarm bell number two would be fucking ringing at that point. I'd be scanning every conversation that I'd had with Kevin Spacey at that point, thinking, well, he did seem a little bit gay. I don't know. But that this guy ignores those alarm bells and he goes in. And then he says, hey, where's everybody else? Oh, well, you know, people come and go and yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a party going on here at all. It seems like it's just you in your bathrobe. And what the hell is that poking out of it? Oh, fucking hell. I mean, come on. Have a bit of common sense. He's a Hollywood star. He's very, very secretive about his personal life. You've turned up at his hotel room for a party. He's in a fucking bathrobe and there's nobody else there. I mean, how many more signs do you need? But nah, you go in. You think of your career. Ah, Jesus. The funniest one. I mean, like, obviously it's a serious subject. But, you know, you put yourself in that situation. It's different for a man. Like, if that's a woman, yeah, fair enough. But as a guy, you've got to have a bit of fucking sense about you. You know, are you not aware of what the world's like at all? Have you been living in a fucking bubble like that and just opened and been come out that day and learning for the first time what people are like? You're a fucking man. Make decisions. Yeah, make good decisions. Don't fucking walk into a hotel room with a fucking Hollywood actor who's, you know, got a bit of a shady, secretive personal life. And he's in a fucking bathrobe and nobody else there. Well, what do you expect? You might as well just walked in there with fucking knee pads on. Ah, oh, dear. You might as well walked in with a fucking tub of KY jelly. And fucking Jesus. And with your tongue out and your mouth open. I mean, for fuck's sake. Yeah, I can see, you know, like, if that's a woman, you know, obviously it's, you know, it's made worse by the fact that, you know, they're younger guys and all that sort of thing. And yes, he probably did have a position of power in Hollywood, but there's a thing in the back of their mind, you know it, where they're thinking, this could get me onto a movie. What are we going to do here? Should we put our sexuality... Just pop it on the shelf there for the evening and see where this ends up. See if I can get a speaking role and some credits. Come on. Jesus. The funniest one. I mean, like, you know, it's not meant to be a funny documentary, but I fucking laughed. Where there's an ex-Marine. I think it might have been the same guy. An ex-Marine. He's sitting, watching, Saving Private Ryan with Kevin Spacey. And then he looks across. All of the people, by the way, when they noticed him doing this, they were shocked and didn't know what to do. Every fucking one of them. Really? You don't know what to do? You're a heterosexual man and another man is there wanking next to you and you don't know what to do? Yeah, you know, how about just casually say, do you mind putting your dick away, please? You're ruining the film. So they're watching Saving Private Ryan. The guy's getting into it is an ex-Marine. It's the beach landing scene. He looks across. Kevin Spacey's there going to town on himself. As Tom Hanks is working his way up the beach. Kevin Spacey's working his way to fucking completion. And at this point, the guy goes, it was very un-American having been an ex-Marine. Oh, I fucking lost it at that point. Oh, Jesus. How dare he wank whilst people are on Omaha Beach dying and getting blown to bits. And he seemed to make a big thing about it being against the army. Not the fact, and obviously he didn't know what to do. He was confused. He didn't know what to do. Yeah, no. Didn't know what to do when somebody next to him is having a wank whilst watching Saving Private Ryan. I'd have been straight out with a phone. Ugh. Panning from Saving Private Ryan to a masturbating Kevin Spacey. Ah, that is a YouTube sensation clip waiting to happen. Ah, Jesus. I mean, really, all of them didn't know what to do. I mean, some of them were more sinister than others. But that, I don't know, man. You know, if you go in, you go round there, you know exactly what you wanted to get out of it, isn't it? It's a fucking trade-off. I'm not condoning it at all. But it's a fucking trade-off, isn't it? You know. They knew exactly what they wanted to get out of it. They wanted to further their career and they wanted to do the least amount possible to be able to do that. But Kevin weren't having any of it. Look at it. If you want a speaking part, look at it. Oh, fucking hell. It was... I don't know whether it's true or whether it's not true. It's not been proved in court, but, you know. OJ wasn't proved in court. A lot of things don't get proved in court on technicalities, do they? If you'd have started video, you know, just make a video of it. Or it just seems like the people who went round, I mean, obviously there was people at the Old Vic where he went standing next to them and rubbed himself against them and shit like that. I don't know. Although even though testimonies look very, very rehearsed, and you've got to realise that that isn't the first time they're saying this, and they've probably had to cry on multiple occasions to get the shot that the director for the documentary wanted. Oh, I don't know what I believe. I don't know what I believe. But it's an interesting documentary. But it's pretty much the same sort of thing for guys as the Russell Brand documentary was for women. You know, if you're a guy going to an apartment on your own with kind of a shady guy, he's there, like you've met him once. If I met anyone once and they said, come round to my house and for a party, and I turn up and they answer the door in their bathrobe and there's nobody else there, I ain't going for that party. Well, it depends what sort of gigs they run, I suppose. Ah, dear. You know, they can get me a headlining set somewhere. On a Friday or Saturday night. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll hang around. I'll at least try the canapes. A little bit more tea there. Right. Let's get on. What else have I watched this week? I'm wearing a German 1990 World Cup winner shirt today because I am disgusted. Disgusted, I tell you. After watching another documentary this week, I watched the final. I didn't realise, obviously, this was the England-Italy European final. They've made a documentary about how, basically in this, English people do not come off good, right? We do not come off good in this documentary. It's a documentary about what happened with the crowds outside the stadium, people rushing the stadium, rushing the turnstiles to try and get in. And fucking hell. As I said the other week in St. George's Day, it's just bad. We've got some fucking morons in this country. Some morons who don't care about other people's safety, other people's security. You know, the whole of, like, Wembley Way, it just shows it packed and trashed completely by fucking moron England fans. They're not even football fans. They're just, you know, out to fucking fight and cause trouble. There's people jumping up and down on buses. One of the guys who they interviewed, some fucking moron with his fucking false teeth, his turkey teeth and his fucking hair swept back. Jumping up and down on a fucking bus. Surely there's got to be recriminations from that. Surely they, you know, if you're on a documentary admitting doing it, jumping up and down on a bus. Oh, my grandkids, I'm so proud. It was shit you laugh. My grandkids, you'll be able to see that. You're a fucking moron. You know, people trying to justify rushing into the stadium, putting other people's lives at risk by basically trampling them. I mean, it's just awful. You know, saying, well, like the government, they had parties and stuff during lockdown and I weren't doing no different from... Well, you know, that's a shit excuse. You wanted to get in to watch the game for free. You didn't have $2,000 in your pocket like you were saying. You wanted to get into the ground to watch the game for free and you didn't care how you did it and now you're trying to justify it by saying, well, the government, they had parties and stuff during lockdown, didn't they? So I'm doing no different from them with your fucking tattoos all over your fucking neck. Ah! It's just very disappointing when you see Italian fans. I mean, that the guy, there's an Italian fan who's got his daughter with him and he had a fucking bad day out. He finds out his ticket is in the England end. That's never going to go well, is it? That's never going to go well. Even if we win, even if we won that final, that was never going to go well. And being as we lost it, ugh. People just suddenly turned, didn't they? Getting pissed, coked out of their heads. You know, 11 o'clock in the morning, absolutely pissed and coked out of their head. You know, you're not going down there to watch the football. You're going down there to fucking trash shit. And it's just awful. It's that whole mentality of, oh, we're fucking England. I don't know why we have to be aggressive about supporting England. Or aggressive about being patriotic. You know, you don't see any other countries like that. You don't see, you know, other European countries being actively aggressive towards other people because they're wearing their home country's football shirt. I don't know. Maybe I'll become a German for these Euros coming up. I could pass. I had blonde hair when I was a kid, blue eyes. You know, maybe I ought to adopt that. Start looking at their fucking pre-match shirts to buy. The pre-match shirt, by the way, the England pre-match shirt, the purple one, is fucking gorgeous. I love it. I may think about purchasing that. No, I don't know why people purchase an England shirt anymore. A plain white England shirt when you've got a great pre-match shirt that can be bought. And for a lot cheaper price. There we go. I'm not on commission. But yeah, every fucking time. And it's going to be the same this time. The same at the Euros this time. It's going to be fucking England fans being twats abroad. That's basically it. That's what every single... I mean, obviously, this the final against Italy was at Wembley. But every single fucking time there's a competition abroad, it's just England fans being twats in another country. That's it. I don't know, man. What I did watch as well yesterday is I know this is I've pretty much all documented out at the moment. Pretty much all documented out. I watched the interview with Fiona Harvey and Piers Morgan on Piers Morgan's YouTube channel. Oh my God, he's getting some hits, isn't he? Where Piers Morgan tries to, he seemed to have one eye on trying to expose her for being a liar and the other eye on the fact that it's 2024 and you can't trigger people. It's a difficult balancing act because you know you're going to get backlash. You know there's soppy people out there going, well, I think this is terrible that you are using her to get views. But I watched that. I watched the interview with her and she is fucking... Woo! I mean, I've met some mental people in my time. Don't get me wrong. I am not, you know, I am not averse to having met insane people. I've dated a few. I've dated a few. I briefly lived with one. Very briefly. But yeah, it's that's a different league, isn't it? You know, the best thing is when she starts off saying she'd met somebody 2-3 times, didn't really chat to him, made it all about, all the digs she had were really spiteful to put him in a bad light. You know, I met him about 2-3 times. That's it. Didn't really communicate. And then it comes out, oh yeah, I emailed him. Oh yeah, I sent him a few tweets. And then slags him off. It was really spiteful digs she was having at Richard Gadd. This is the baby reindeer woman, by the way. The real life one, apparently, who it's set on. There was 41,000 emails, apparently. It was quite funny how she was like, yeah, but if somebody did do that, then it doesn't mean they did the other stuff as well. I know, but that's pretty obsessive. And Piers Morgan was trying to kind of get it out of her to say that that it was her who sent the emails, but she weren't having a bar of it. And you could just see, it's really weird when you see people sort of like trying to think of things, like instead of talking normally, and her eyes were sort of like looking to the left and looking up as if she was trying to think of a decent answer that wasn't going to make her look like the fucking mental psychopath she is. I mean, the woman clearly needs help. Clearly. It's amazing. They're just a spiteful digs, though. It was like, he's a rubbish. It was like really childish. He's a rubbish comedian. He's an unsuccessful comedian. We've all heard that, baby. And then saying she's in a 5-year relationship. That's bullshit. Bullshit. Straight off the bat, isn't it? She's been in a 5-year relationship with a lawyer. Okay, sweetheart. Okay. Who are you stalking now? But it was just, it's just fascinating watching somebody like that who's got no self-awareness of the way she's coming across, no real knowledge of, you know, how she's presenting herself or anything like that. It's a riveting watch because she's sort of like kind of getting nasty and snippy with her comments and certain things she won't admit to. Like, I think he asked her what exam results she got for her degree and she didn't ever answer the question. And he must have asked her about 5 or 6 times. And it was like she's built up this persona in her own head that she's intelligent and really good at being a lawyer and what she does, even though she didn't do a full degree in law, it turns out now, that she said on the program. But she wouldn't admit, you know, like if she had got a first in her degree, she'd have gone, I got a first in my law degree. That's it. But she was sort of like kept going off track, didn't answer the question, kept going, well, in the 80s and that, we all just like, and just skirted around the issue and Piers Morgan was trying to nail her down on it. And it's that sort of delusion and sort of like narcissism where she won't admit that she got a shitty mark and she's not as intelligent as what she sort of like tries to portray. Oh, it's fascinating. There was times, you know, there's something fascinating watching somebody be uncomfortable, which we all love, or somebody being exposed, because it's just a realization that you thank fuck that's not you. I think that's the whole thing about it. It's like, I was watching that thinking, oh, fuck, thank God I am not. Well, I might be a little bit delusional. I may be a little bit narcissistic, but like, thank God I am not at that fucking stage. It's fascinating watching. She needs help, man. And it seems a bit like she's courted the press and saying she's going to sue for this, sue for that. And Piers Morgan was like, well, all of these things are provable. If you sent like 41,000 emails, I mean, that's insane. 41,000 emails. And why emails? Why not text messages? I imagine she, in her head at the time, she was thinking emails. You could text messages directly linked to a phone, which is linked to an account, which is, you know, you pay money for every month. So she's obviously thinking, unless she didn't have his phone number, but she's obviously thinking, you know, it'll be not quite so easy to track her down. But obviously they can do that. But, it's a fascinating watch, I must admit. But yeah, it's just that lady needs help big time. right, people of the world, that is half an hour done. Boom. It is 9:30 now. 9:35. Look at that. It's 9:35. I hope I am going to go and enjoy the rest of my day. It is just heating up out here. I'm fucking glad I got this done early, I tell you. It is heating up out here now. I can feel the heat coming through the fucking windows. I hope you have a glorious Sunday on the Sabbath, whatever you are doing, whether you are going out, having a barbecue, working, whatever you do on this Sunday. Have a lovely time. I shall speak to you next week, motherfuckers. Take care.